Marcia Skripik is one of Canada's most popular children's authors and a preeminent one on Ukrainian themes. As well, she's recently released another novel called Stolen Child and is currently touring Western Canada. I spoke with Marcia by phone from her home in Brantford, Ontario, before she left on her tour. Thanks so much for joining us, Marcia.
It's a pleasure, Paula.
Now, you've got, this is your 12th novel?
It's my 13th book.
Your 13th book.
But that's including two anthologies, one that I edited and then one that I just have a one story in. So 13 books, I don't know how many novels.
Okay.
But there's three picture books in there as well.
Right, okay. So it's children and young adults that you focus
on?
Yes,
children's and young adults, novels, picture books, anthologies.
Okay, now this book, A Stolen Child, is aimed at the a similar audience to your most recent novel on Ukrainian, or your previous novel, rather, on Ukrainian themes, Prisoners in the Promised Land.
That's right, which is grade 4, 5, 6, 7. I've noticed that older students are also interested in it because of the topic, and also adults seem very interested in it. It's about a girl in World War II who was stolen from her Ukrainian family by the Nazis and brainwashed into thinking she's German and placed in a Nazi home. And so, you know, the topic itself is pretty serious for a novel for very young children.
Mm-hmm. So, what made you choose this particular topic?
My mother-in-law, who died 2 years ago, talked about the Lebensborn program a lot. She lost half of her classmates to the Lebensborn program in World War II. And she said that it frustrated her to no end that no one seemed to know about this horrific program that the Nazis had. And in fact, 300,000 Ukrainian and Polish children were abducted from their parents in this program. And no one seems to know about it. Now, there were kids from other countries that were taken too, but it wasn't as horrific as what happened in Poland and Ukraine and Czechoslovakia.
What was the difference?
Well, because Poles and Ukrainians and Czechs were not considered human, they were considered subhuman, there was no one really cared about what the parents thought about this. It was sort of like, you know, you go and cull from a herd, and that's what they were doing. They would, as one of the things that they would do, they'd go into a town or a village, and they'd make every single child of a certain age come to, you know, the main square. And then they would take every single one, say every single seven-year-old in the entire village, and then they would sort through them as if they're animals. And the ones that they considered racially valuable, like so that they thought that they were Aryan or Germanic, those ones would be taken and brainwashed into thinking they were German. The ones who were not racially valuable were not given back to their parents. They were either exterminated or they were sent as slave laborers.
That is horrific.
I know, but what happened in the northern European countries, because they were considered to be Aryan, and so human, not subhuman like Slavs, what would happen is that German soldiers were supposed to procreate with northern European women, and then the women, when they became pregnant, would be put in Lebensborn homes and treated really well, given extra rations and everything else. And then when the baby was born, it would be taken away from them, but really willingly, because they were doing it for, you know, for the fatherland. This was their gift to Hitler, basically. So it was a different kind of issue altogether. I mean, still horrific for the child, but this way, I mean, the parents in Ukraine and Poland were quite aware of their children being stolen from them. And after the war, the kids were so successfully brainwashed that even if they were reunited with their birth parents, they didn't want to go back to their birth parents because they were thinking they were German.
Wow. So what is the Canadian connection in this novel?
Well, I wanted to write it so that it would have, it would relate to North American children. And so I wanted to have the girl come to Canada. And because also, I had written it, it would have been a different story if it was set in Germany because she wouldn't have even had the awareness that she'd been stolen. So I had to think of a way that she would actually have the awareness that she had been stolen and what her real past was. So what I did was in the story. I mean, there were also a great number of Ukrainian slave laborers, right? Osterbeiters.
Mm-hmm.
So at the Nancy farm where she's at, there's also a Ukrainian slave laborer who recognizes that this girl is not German. And so when the war is ending, she steals this girl away from the Nazi family. So this is actually the second time that this girl's been stolen from a family. And then they end up in a displaced persons camp, and the woman poses as her mother. And so they end up immigrating to Canada as a family unit, and the woman gets married in the DP camp. And so it's not until Nadia, the little girl, gets to Canada that she actually feels comfortable enough to think about her past, because even when they were in the DP camp, she couldn't talk about or think about her past because she could have been taken away from this woman as well. And she knows that this woman is trying to help her, but she doesn't really understand what it is that she's supposed to be hiding because she's had a pretty traumatic childhood.
So this story is based on a lot of personal experience, recollections of from your mother-in-law and your
research? Yeah, there are some direct recollections from my mother-in-law in the book.
Wow.
She was not a Lebensborn child, and so those experiences are not from her. She did tell me about what happened to her classmates, but of course she wasn't processed that way. She did escape, and she lived in a DP camp, and so all of those scenes are from her direct recollection.
So for the benefit of listeners who may not be familiar with what a DP camp is.
That's a displaced persons camp. So after World War II, there wasn't a Ukraine anymore, right?
Right.
And so people didn't have a home to go back to. And so there are actually millions of people after World War II that had no country to go back to. So they ended up being in these camps. They were in Germany, Austria, there's some in Italy, all over the place, waiting for a country who would agree to give them a home. And Canada gave a great number of displaced people homes.
So this is like refugee camps around the world today?
Yes, exactly.
Essentially. Okay. So this sounds like a fabulous book, and it's out available now for people to purchase?
Yes, it's published by Scholastic Canada. And so it's in bookstores across the country. It's also in the Scholastic book clubs in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's quite easily available
okay.
all over the place.
So any local bookstore would have it or be able to order it.
Absolutely.
Okay. And there's information on your website about the book as well?
Yes, there is. My website is www.calla.com.
Okay. Now, you are going to be on a tour, as this is going to air, as people are listening to this, you're already going to be in BC,
yes.
Right? So tell us a little bit about your tour.
I leave on April the 25th, and I'll be in Kelowna and Vernon. I'll be in Kelowna on the 25th, and the next day I'll be at a couple of elementary schools during the day, but there will be an open presentation in the evening at 6:30. It's actually for the Ukrainian dancers in the area, but it will be open to the public, and it's at the Vernon Elks Hall, which is 3103 30th Street in Vernon. And
okay.
then from there I go to Edmonton. I'm also in Winnipeg and Saskatoon.
Okay. And is there a place where people can follow, because we do have listeners from those areas as well? So where would they be able to find information about that? I can put it on the Nash Holis blog, of course.
Well, that would be great, and
yeah.
I'll be putting it on my own blog as well.
Okay.
And the publisher will be sending out press releases in the various areas.
Great. And what is your blog, Marcia?
It's a Live Journal blog, and it's Marcia S.
Okay. Marcia S. Live Journal blogs.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. Congratulations on this release, on yet another book, and thank you so much for doing the work that you do, bringing a lot of this unknown information and these stories to light.
Thank you so much, Paulette.
So good luck on your tour. Shtislavuji dorohe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Paulette. You take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.